little sheet so you can check it out just to be sure. And if you're not listed for something but you'd like to help out in some way, whether it's mowing the lawn or whether it's cleaning the back fellowship hall section, or whether it's in the nursery, just let us know and we'll get you in that rotation if you want. It's a big help. It's great for parents, for their kids, great for the lawn and giving people a little bit of rest there. Speaking of the lawn, we need to get a new lawnmower, so we're going to meet on July 21st. There will be just a short business meeting at 6:30 at the church to discuss the proposal to get a new lawnmower. That's tomorrow night, 6:30. So just so you know. Let's see. Any other announcements that are not in the bulletin right now? So each month we've been supporting different ministries. And one of the ministries that was brought to my attention for this month is the Bringing Children Hope Ministry. And one of the big projects that they're working on right now is building a school in a Liberian village of Bonato in Africa. They support children of all types and also adults. And the school that they're building right now, they have the walls up. And they're looking to put a roof on that school. And what it will do is during the day, it will be for educating the children. And then in the evenings, it will be like a technical school or vocational school for adults. And so it will kind of serve the community of all ages to help them to kind of grow. So if you're wondering where your Sunday school offering goes to, that's where it goes to. Every month we pick a missionary and we give to them, depending on need, or just on a regular basis. But a lot of times it's because they need something in particular, and so we want to focus on that group, whether it's buying a refrigerator or building a place of worship or building a school. That's what we often do. So end of this month, that's what your money will go to. And if you are like, well, I won't be there last Sunday of the month for Sunday school, you can also always write that check earlier and specify what it's for. Okay, if there's nothing else, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you for the cool breeze today and a little bit of shade after a lot of heat the last week or two. Just thank you for this time to come and remembering all that you've done for us this week, to bring our cares here to you and seeking your comfort, seeking your joy, seeing brothers and sisters in Christ that we haven't seen throughout the week, having an opportunity to encourage one another and then to sing thanks to you for all that you've done, for being a great Savior, being willing to sacrifice your life for us and to continue to live with us and to live for us and to encourage us, to strengthen us, to discipline us and to make us more like you. Give us hope and give us patience as we wait for your return. Help us to love one another as you first loved us. And help us to worship and to learn from you today, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead and turn in your hymnals to number 2. And we'll sing Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. And these are in the new book, so you can watch the screen.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Praise him in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things holds.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 38. It's a prayer and a writing of Hezekiah after some of the difficult life experiences he went through, and just summarizes some of the things he's learned about the Lord and the lessons that he's learned in life. So Hezekiah's prayer is found in Isaiah 38, verses 9 through 20. A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery. I said, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? I said, I will not again see the Lord himself in the land of the living. No longer will I look on my fellow man or be with those who now dwell in this world. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life, and he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night, you make an end of me. I waited patiently till dawn, but like a lion, he broke all my bones. Day and night, you made an end of me. I cried like a swift or a thrush. I moaned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I am being threatened. Lord, come to my aid. But what can I say? He has spoken to me, and he himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. Lord, by such things people live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. For the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praise. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you as I am doing today. Parents tell their children about your faithfulness. The Lord will save me, and we will sing with stringed instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord.
Okay, you can turn in your new hymnals to 164. 164, what a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to to the
Don't worry, I'm not singing. Naturally, my voice doesn't carry, so I wanted to make sure you can hear me today.
Is this on,
David?
Is there a switch on that?
I've got a red. Yeah, I'm on. All right. Sorry for the distraction. Any prayer requests this week? Janet. She's deaf in one ear and hard of hearing in the other, right? So just go in and announce your presence. So yeah, she needs some companionship. Yep. I'm sure Tom is probably would be more than happy.
So my dad is actually in Rochester right now, and he is not doing well. So he's had some crazy thing, makes him sweat, doesn't feel good at all. He was going to stay out and visit my mom till Wednesday, but he is not doing well. So unless he starts to feel better, I'm going to go out today and pick him up and bring him back, at which point he'll need visitors maybe or help otherwise. My mom is neither improving nor getting worse. Some days are better than others. They're always trying something new to drain something out of somewhere else or increase the ports or take something out or try and give her food. They're just kind of like going at all different angles. So some days she's doing great. Sometimes she's not doing great, and you don't know which day that's going to be. So continue to pray for her for sure, and we'll send her your love when we go there today to see her. So.
Ed. Violet.
Pray for a co-worker of mine who is caring, and her family back home. She actually was from the Philippines last week, I believe. Her nephew was probably hurt in the Philippines.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we are reminded through our scripture readings of that we can praise you even in difficulty. And it is good to praise you in hard times because you are good even when things are difficult, Lord. And help us to go to you in prayer with our troubles. And you hear us and you care for us. Even in the things that we might think are unimportant or mundane or not a big deal, that you still care, Lord, and that you long for us to come to you like little children. Pray for recovery for Cheryl and for Tom and Anita with these different health things they're going through, and help us to be good companions and encouragers to them in the midst of these trials and strife, Lord, and pray for their healing. Pray for Ed and these back issues, that the doctors would have wisdom on how best to help him. We are so grateful we live in a time when we can have health problems and we can have hope that the doctors can do something, Lord. Just the amazing things that we've seen with the growth of knowledge in these areas. Help us to trust in you most of all for all those things. We are grateful for the improvement that Ed is seeing in his friend Chuck and his wife, Lord, and the return of Chuck's memory and the improvement in his wife, Lord. We pray for their continued healing, and we pray most of all for them to know Jesus most of all. We pray for Violet's co-worker with a nephew that's been murdered, and we pray you be with that family through trials that that brings, and we pray that they would know Christ in the midst of difficulty. Help us in the midst of hard times to not look to ourselves, but to look to you as our source of hope and our source of strength, and help us to have confidence in you, knowing that you are the healer, you are the comforter, you are our provider, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together and sing, "Yet Not I, But Christ in Me." Of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold my hope. Is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by His side the Savior He will stay. I labored on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need my power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled, suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains have released, and in every breath I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home, and day by day I know He will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips
shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. The grace of God has reached for me and pulled me from the raging sea, and I am safe on the solid ground. The Lord is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness falls. The strength will help me scale these walls. I'll see the dawn of the rising sun. The Lord is my salvation. Who is like the Lord our God, strong to save, faithful in love. My debt is paid and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation. My hope is hidden in the Lord. He flowers each promise of his word. When winter fades, I know spring will. Times of waiting, times of need, when I know loss, when I am weak, I know His grace will renew these days. The Lord is my salvation. Final day, He will not leave me in the grave, but I will rise. He will call me home. The Lord is my salvation. Who is like the Lord our God, to save, faithful in love. My debt is paid and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation. Glory be, glory be to God the Father. Glory be to God the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit.
Son. Glory be to God. Commands all the hosts of heaven. Who else could make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness trembles? Only a holy God. What are the beauty demands such praises? What of the splendor outshines the sun? What of the majesty rules with justice? Only a holy God. The glory consumes like fire. What other power can raise the dead? What other name remains undefeated? Only a holy God. Come and behold. From my failing, and who else would offer his only son? And who else invites me to call him father? Only a holy God. Come and behold. Come and worship. worship a holy God.
Amen. You may be seated.
When we left Hezekiah last week, life was good. He had been blessed, used by God, sold out, devoted to God, and directed his nation and brought that whole nation together and in unity and serving the Lord and celebrating together. And life was going along smoothly. In that process, we kind of settle into the good things of life. I don't know what stage your life is at, but, you know, as you get older, you realize there's not only good days and bad days, there's good years and bad years. Just things that happen in ways that you don't expect. But we, in America especially, have some, what I call, unrealistic expectations of things, how we expect things to operate and to happen. And everything was going so good for Hezekiah. Well, there's a little phrase in 2 Chronicles 32:1. It's one of the parallel passages we're looking at 2 Kings. And it says, after all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. So when you come to 2 Kings 18, and that's our main focus, verse 13, we see that same emphasis. It tells us when. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. So 14 years of nothing but blessing. And Hezekiah is now 39 years old. And Assyria, the rising empire of the world, attacks. That same empire had, several years before, basically overrun and destroyed the northern tribes of Israel. And he knew they were out there, but the Lord had allowed him to not be under their power and influence. And I think that in American Christianity especially, we sometimes get that idea, if I do what God wants, life will be good. And by that, we mean happy, easy, everything will go together smoothly. And as it told us, Hezekiah had been faithfully serving God and leading the country to experience great blessing. And that's the way it ought to be, right? I mean, certainly we saw in there that the idea, if you serve and follow the Lord, it brings greater blessing than if you disregard him and disregard his commands. Aren't faithfully godly people supposed to prosper, be in good health, succeed, have children that follow them and follow the Lord? So if I trust and faithfully serve God, he'll keep all the problems away, right? Well, the real evidence of faith comes when we are blindsided by crisis. So here's Hezekiah, 14 years of blessing the nation at one of the high points in its life, and here comes the king of Assyria. Bad things happen to good people. A godly person's faithful service does not lift that person out of the ordinary circumstances and changes and losses in life. We live in a broken, sinful world. Often one difficult thing seems to pile on another. I don't know, somewhere along the line, you know, we heard that bad things come in threes, right? Have you been counting lately? I don't know how long a space you have to get those, but we think those, ways, but part of it, we think that way because we realize in our own experience, sometimes when I feel like I can't get any lower, another thing hits on top of it and piles it on. And that's the case that has come here at this particular point in Hezekiah's life. And these circumstances test our faith and expose whether we are really committed to trusting and obeying God no matter what happens or not. So he'd faithfully served the Lord. He'd had peace and prosperity for 14 years. And at the age of 39, in the prime of life, he's about to face some pretty severe midlife crises. So when you come here in verse 14 of 2 Kings 18, so Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent this message to the king of Assyria at Lachish. I have done wrong. Withdraw from me, and I will pay whatever you demand of me. And the king of Assyria exacted from Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal palace. At this time, Hezekiah, king of Judah, stripped off the gold with which he had covered the doors and doorposts of the temple of the Lord and gave it to the king of Assyria. I don't think we realize how big a tribute that was. He admits he's made a political mistake. He pays tribute to the king of Assyria. It's 11 tons of silver and a ton of gold. Anybody know what silver and gold go for the ounce nowadays? But what you find in this account is essentially he wiped out all the finances of the nation and the temple trying to pay off Sennacherib to go away. And he paid him, and you know what happened? Sennacherib didn't go away. So I think that was pretty easy. Let's keep on coming. But Hezekiah's assessment, there's three accounts of this same story that fill in different details. There's 2 Kings 18, there's 2 Chronicles 32, and there's Isaiah 37, which our scripture reading was from. But Hezekiah's assessment at that time in Isaiah 37:3 says, "This is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace." He'd paid that tribute. It didn't cause Sennacherib to go away. In fact, what you next read in the next verses, verse 17 and following, the king of Assyria sends his military commanders over to the edge of the city to intimidate them and to cause them to surrender. And we'll come back and look at some of the details of that a little bit later. But the problems just seem to multiply. So things can't get much worse than that, can they? We'll jump over to 2 Kings 20, verse 1. And in the midst of that, it says, "In those days," in the midst of while all this was going on with Assyria and his kings, it says, "In those days Hezekiah became ill, and it was at the point of death. And the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, 'This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover.'" Pretty hard blindsided attack, isn't it? Seemingly happening in the midst of all these other things, he's ill, he's at the point of death, and he's told, "You're going to die. Put your house in order." Remember how old he was? 39 years old. Says, "You're not going to live anymore. Your life's over." Well, he reacted the way you'd react. See what he said? Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, Lord, how I walked with you before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. How would you or how have you handled those types of crises in your life? Some of you have been told you have a terminal illness. Some of you have had a spouse who's died young or unexpectedly. Can you imagine being the parent of the children that were at the Christian camp in Texas? children swept away in a flood. Maybe your company's folded up and you've lost your job, or maybe your business has fallen under, or you've lost all your retirement. Maybe you lost your home in a fire, in the sale of property around it, things outside your circumstances, things you had your future planned, and all of a sudden, plans change, don't they? We get blindsided. And it's easy in those circumstances for people to say, like Hezekiah is saying, Lord, I've served you faithfully. I've done this wholeheartedly. Why me? And it's easy when we faithfully serve God to say, well, it all failed. It wasn't worth it. I've lost my family, my finances, my physical health, these personal issues. It's all gone bad. And there's a tendency in many times in people's lives when those things happen to turn away from God and to become bitter and walk away from their faith. But I want you to learn some lessons from Hezekiah's life journey. As he faced these things, you see some responses that I think we can learn some valuable lessons from. We have a reminder here that faith or trust does not exempt us from personal responsibility. Hezekiah expresses his dependence on God, but he also fulfills fulfills personal responsibilities in all these circumstances. We already read the little bit in 2 Kings 18. He did what Scripture tells us in other places. When you face a military situation, you ought to make an assessment of the situation. And if you don't think you could win, what ought you to do? You ought to figure out how to make peace with that person. And he tried to do that. Didn't work out for him. Over in 2 Chronicles 32, if you'd read through the first 8 verses, he also prepared militarily. This was an ongoing thing. Military battles in that time often took what form? They took form of siege of a city. They'd encircle the city and they'd starve them out. They'd set up camp. You're not getting any food. Agriculture shut down. Businesses shut down. And that's often, if it was a walled city, that's how they took those things down. So he prepared militarily. He filled in all the outside water sources around the city of Jerusalem. But I'm not going to let them have easy access to water. They come here, they're going to suffer too. So he blocks out all the water sources. He dug a tunnel through rock that supplied water to Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem today, one of the places they will take you is to the place where Hezekiah cut through solid rock to have water fed into the city of Jerusalem to sustain them during a siege type thing. He repaired the military fortifications. He made weapons and shields. He organized and encouraged the people and gave them instructions. He says, when these people try to talk intimidating and try to get you to give up, don't even listen to them. Don't even respond. So he attempted to get peace. He prepared militarily. He also prayed. We find that description in this passage in 2 Chronicles 19, verses 14 and on. He'd received a letter from the Syrian king giving him what he expected of him. And he spread the letter. He went to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and listen. Listen to these words of Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian king has laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. They were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God of heaven. You'd find a parallel passage to that in Isaiah 37 and in 2 Chronicles 32. But he reminds himself, among other things, who is God? Who is my God? Did you pick up the things that he says in those passages? He reminds himself, he's the Lord Almighty, who's God over all the kingdoms of the earth. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's the only true God. And this isn't some God of my, I'm not depending on some God of my own making or my self-strength. I'm depending on the Lord of the universe. And as he approaches him, back at the beginning of that chapter in verse 19, when Hezekiah is facing this crisis, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, went to the temple of the Lord. He sent some of his administrators to talk to Isaiah and tells him what a difficult situation it is and asks that Isaiah would also pray and seek others to turn to the Lord. So you see that kind of response in the military crisis. You see a similar response in 2 Kings 20 when he faced physical illness and life-threatening death. What was his first response? He prays. It's a fervent, earnest, heartbroken prayer. The prayer we read in our scripture reading in Isaiah 38, verses 10 through 14, gives us some more details on what that prayer involved. And he said, he just is laying out before the Lord what he's thinking. You know, Lord knows what we're thinking, but we need to put it right out there sometimes. He says, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? I won't see the Lord again in this land of the living. I won't see my fellow men in this world. He says, it's just like my tent has been ripped out and thrown away. I've waited patiently, and instead I'm being crushed. I'm weeping. I'm mourning. I'm threatened, Lord. Come to my aid. So, Lord, come to my aid. We've all come to points where we cry out like that to the Lord. One of the other things that we see later in this passage is he also, in 2 Kings 20, he also took medical steps. He was instructed to have a poultice made of figs and treat that illness that is part of what's happening. And the Lord used that as part of his recovery because he had told him to follow those steps. I lay out that first step because as he fulfilled his personal responsibility, Hezekiah recognized and expressed his dependence on God. He trusted in God in the midst of tragedy and enabled him to faithfully keep on persevering and doing what he should be doing while at the same time expressing his dependence on God and knowing that his own efforts would not be enough. Now, in the process, his faith is challenged. Back in 2 Kings 18, verses 19 and following, you need to remember at this time, Assyria was the major power of the world that was basically running over all the countries around it. Nobody could seem to stand up to them. And in fact, Hezekiah acknowledges that even in his prayer to the Lord. He says, yep, all those countries fell, their gods were worthless, they didn't do anything. And so in this instance, his trust in God is being challenged. So you start in 2 Kings 18, verse 19, and here's what the king of Assyria says, tell Hezekiah these things. On what are you basing your confidence? This is verse 19 of chapter 18. You have said you have the counsel and the might for war, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look, I know you are depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff which pierces the hand of anyone who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. But if you say to me, we are depending on the Lord our God, isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before this altar in Jerusalem? So Sennacherib, not understanding, said, well, you know, you took away all those worship sites, so now your God's angry at me. says, you ought to, in fact, here's my deal. He says, I'll give you 2,000 horses if you can come up with enough riders to put on them. So you haven't got a chance. My military might and power compared to you. How can you repulse one officer of the least of my master officials, even though you are depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Furthermore, I have come to attack and destroy this place without word. Have I come to destroy this place without word from the Lord? Says, your God told me to come and wipe you out, to cause you to sacrifice. The Lord told me to march against this country and to destroy it. So he was in a militarily impossible situation. He's being told, you know, you don't have the military strength. Egypt can't be trusted. In fact, as you go on here in verses 29 and 30, he tells the nation as a whole, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Hezekiah's telling you, God's on our side. We're going to win. He said, he's just blowing hot air at you. He says, don't let him deceive you. Don't let him persuade you to trust God. Now, the Lord sent some encouraging words to Hezekiah through Isaiah in chapter 19, verses 5 to 7. He says to him, don't be afraid. This is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid of what you have heard, those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed. Listen, when he hears a certain report, I will make him to return to his own country, and there I will cut him down with the sword. And you see the response as you go down through here that the Lord is going to deliver. In verse 19, now the Lord our God deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God. If you read on in that chapter, as a little reminder, God says, I raised Assyria up and let them have all the success they had, and I'm going to take them down. Don't forget who I am and what's going on. And so the Lord answered his prayer. You remember the story of how he answered his prayer? You find it in verses 35 through 37 of this particular chapter, chapter 19. That night the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp, withdrew, returned to Nineveh, and stayed there. And one day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god, his sons killed him with a sword, and they escaped the land, and his other son succeeded him as king. Lord answered that particular prayer. Physically did the impossible. He also answered his prayer about healing him. In Hezekiah 20, in 2 Kings 20, when Hezekiah had cried and wept bitterly, verse 4, before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of people, this is what the Lord of God of your father David says. I have heard your prayer, seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake, for the sake of my servant. And he answered that prayer. Hezekiah says, you know, what sign are you going to give me that you're really going to do that? Kind of hard to believe. And you read the account in chapter 20, verses 8 to 11, basically says, have the sun go backwards 10 steps. There was a stairway that went up that acted like a sundial. It says, have the sundial go back 10 steps. It says, it could go ahead and that might happen, but it's never going to go back unless you did it. And the Lord had it go back 10 steps. There's a little reminder in the scripture reading we read in Isaiah 38, and that his trust in God allowed him to benefit even from his affliction. I want you to turn there for a minute, Isaiah 38. It was our scripture reading, but you start with about verse 15. It says, I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. Lord, by such things people live, and my spirit finds life in them. You restored my health to me and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You've put all my sins behind your back. For the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praise. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you, as I am doing today. Parents tell their children about your faithfulness. He learned to walk humbly. Have you had some humbling experiences in your life that caused you to learn to walk humbly with your God instead of with pride? You know, one of the great dangers in the life of Israel's kings that faithfully served the Lord is the Lord blessed them so much they became proud and forgot. And even when Israel went into the promised land, one of the warnings he gives them, he says, I'm going to send you in the promised land. I'm going to give you home and crops and things that you never planted or did anything. And here's the danger. You're going to be blessed so much, you're going to forget who gave it to you. And say, boy, look at me. Aren't I great? He learned to walk humbly. His spirit found life. He benefited from suffering. He learned about God's love and faithfulness in a deeper way. He learned about God's forgiveness. He puts his sin behind me. He praised God, and he taught the next generation about God's faithfulness. This trust also allowed him to accept God's will. Lord said to him, you're going to live, Hezekiah. How much longer was he going to live? Okay, so you do the math. What age did he die? 39 plus 15, got your all the higher math, right? How many of you are older than 54? And you think you ought to still live a lot longer, don't you? Some of you have experienced this. How do you feel when somebody tells you this is how long you have to live? The Lord gave him a long time, added on a lot of years. But at the same time with that comes a reminder, what? Life's going to end. I need to be prepared. If it's not now, it's later. And I'm thankful for the additional time the Lord's given me, and I want to serve him and be used for him, but never get the idea that this goes on forever. It's interesting to see the peace and serenity he expresses when the Lord tells him that. His trust allowed him to accept God's will. He said, you know, I'll experience peace and security during my lifetime, and I'm going to tell the next generation. And he provided an example of trust, an example that the nation followed and benefited from, an example his own son, one of the things we'll see in the next week. Hezekiah faithfully served God, and his son went exact opposite direction. But late in life, his son experienced such things that caused him to go back to his faith and respond in a different way in those circumstances. Life is full of tragedy and obstacles that will test our faith. I don't know what things have blindsided you. Even 3 years off, my tears are always still right there. Last 3 years have been hard on me. Some of the hardest years of my life. Unexpected responses to circumstances I didn't see coming. Physically, I'm doing great, other things. But I'm thankful that the Lord has brought me beyond that. But I can tell you, I was blindsided. I had plans of what I wanted to do to
serve the Lord, to help people do whatever, and I just was struggling to make it through the day and the week. Some of you have been blindsided by much more difficult things than that. But in a way, we need to recognize, don't be surprised by tragedy and difficulty. It's a part of life when we live in a broken, fallen world. But God remains faithful in the midst of all those kinds of things. Don't turn away from him and think something else is going to be better. He doesn't promise you life will be easy, but he promises to sustain you and to be with you and to hold your future secure. If we only follow God because we think it will bring us health, prosperity, and happiness, you aren't going to last very long in your faith. God is to be trusted in all circumstances. When we allow God to have his way, the trials of life work for us, not against us. Hezekiah said, I benefited from this experience. And I benefited from my experience. I wouldn't want to do it again, but I benefited from it. It's been humbling, a humbling experience. Not only will we benefit from them, but they bring great glory to God. Do you notice that as one of the things that Hezekiah expressed in his prayer? Especially when it came to the military situation, he says, Lord, do this so that they might recognize who you are. It might bring glory to your name, and that I might be able to pass on and share with others what the Lord has done. We are reminded in Hezekiah's case how the Lord was very capable and stepped in and changed drastically the circumstances around them. In other lives of individuals in the scripture, we see with God's faithfulness, they faithfully served God and they lost their life in the process. Hebrews 11 gives us that great contrast between direct answers to prayer in ways we like and what from a human perspective looks like disaster. But in it all, we're reminded, don't forget who God is and what your relationship to him is. Understanding and knowing him helps us put our problems in perspective. He is able. He is to be trusted. Through him, we can triumph, even in the midst of challenges and tragedies, because he remains ever the same. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reminders of who you are and how you love your people and how you faithfully serve them. We thank you for the example of Hezekiah, one who faithfully served you, yet in the midst of that, we see the challenges that came crashing down in his life. Lord, you know in our midst today, there are people within our church family and beyond that are just facing some of the most difficult and challenging circumstances in life. May you be their strength and source of hope. May your sustaining grace see them through and come to the point where they can look back and praise you for all that you've done in the midst of even those most difficult of circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing this last song, Be Still My Soul, page 60, and it'll be on the screen as well. Be Still My Soul, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Be still my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief for pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. still my soul, your best, your heavenly friend. Through thorny ways, lead to a joyful end. Be still my soul, your God doth undertake. The future as he has the past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All the mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still my soul.
Dismissed.